listening to this week's LaFever CFC podcast. Connect with us via our website, lafevercfc.com, or our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/LaFever CFC. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
All right, so my thought is the best way to celebrate Christmas is with a conga Christmas. So come and join me. Come on, everyone. Conga Christmas. Let's do this. Jump on the back line, because my kids have been dragged up here and they need support. Conga Christmas. Let's do this. If we can get 80% of the church up here, that's fine. If you're fit and able, it's conga Christmas.
Outside the snow is
so watch out for feet as we come through here.
Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you.
Am I turned on? I can't hear myself.
Giddy up, let's go.
Jump on, girls, come on.
Come on,
there's no excuse. We're coming right past you. It's not hard. It's really easy. It's just here. Boys, don't sit there. It's like really boring. Come on. We've almost got everyone here. The song only goes for another minute more. We're almost right there. Stop it. We're getting our steps up as well as celebrating Christmas, everyone. I mean, I thought about wearing a reindeer outfit, but I didn't have one, so we're just running. All right, this is it. Well done, Laggards. This is great. You can even, like, you know, out here like this, something like that. Get going to the bit of music. All right, here you go. It's Christmas.
Without a single stop at the fireplace, we will watch the chestnuts pop.
Hi, my dad.
There's a happy feeling.
So I'm doing some bit of music. You can really try to get into it here. We're going to do a crossover. Let's see what we can do. We're going to bang into each other. Woo!
Pumpkin pie. You can nearly be like a picture print by Korea and Dives. These wonderful things are
I think we might be done. I think. Oh no. We're wrapping it as like playing snakes. You know that game on the phone? On the Nokia 3310? Oh. Come on, you're in your KC outfit. It's perfect timing. You're hard working, Maddie. Let's get up and do this. Come on. Oh man, I thought I was fit, but I'm not feeling it right now. Oh, surely that's the end. All right. Thank you, everyone.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's go.
Woo. There we go. Thank you, everyone. I wondered for a moment if it was just going to be me and the kids, and then I'd be copying it for a while. Ha, younger children. There's a movie on out the back if you'd like to go and watch it. Thank you for hanging around. Older children, stay in. All right, so the theme for today is, it's Christmas, and could it get any bigger than this? Could it get any bigger than Christmas? So, can we all agree Christmas is fun and exciting? Isn't that the thing about Christmas? Like, it's different from the rest of the year. It's a time that we all get, well, we do what we just did. We do silly things. We eat far too much food and we have a lot of fun. The other thing is, it's full of marketing as well, right? And so I thought I'd throw to a movie that I watched that's about this very topic. And the fourth in the series is coming out very soon and I'm pretty excited. So hopefully the sound's up nice and loud. And you can hear what happened in this movie. Light.
I imagine
you're about to be
feeling a bit like Alice, tumbling down the rabbit hole.
You could say that.
I can see it in your eyes. You have a look
at the church who
accepts what he sees.
You are expecting to look on.
Ironically, this is not far from the truth. Do you believe in
God's purpose, Church?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't like the idea that I'm not in control of my life.
I know exactly what you mean. Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life, that there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there, like a splinter in your mind, driving you mad. It is this feeling that has brought you to me. Do you know what I'm talking about?
The marketing.
Yeah.
Do you want to know what it is?
The marketing is everywhere.
It is all around us. Even now, in this very room, you can see it when you look out your window or when you turn on your television. You can feel it when you go to work, when you go to church.
When you go to the supermarket.
It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
What truth?
That you are a slave in
church.
Like everyone else, you were born into bondage. Born into a prison that you cannot smell or taste or touch. A prison for your mind. Unfortunately, no one can be told
what the marketing is.
My editing could be better. I mean, fair enough.
You
didn't
have
much time.
See it for yourself. This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends.
Get in your chairs for half an hour and you believe what you want to believe.
You take the red pill.
Stay in this building.
And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. Remember, all I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
All right, you have an insight into my mind and my sense of humour now. So, red pill or blue pill? What I'm proposing here is we're going to take the red pill and talk about what might be going on behind the marketing. I wish I had Lawrence Fishburne's voice. How amazing is he? It's almost there with Morgan Freeman. So I want to talk about this. Which, actually that. So tell me, someone must know what this is.
Infinity?
All right, excellent. Let's have a chat about infinity. Okay, can someone... Oh, people are groaning. Do you remember your algebra back in school? Is this bringing back memories? Can someone have a crack at explaining this for me? There's a year 12 student. We've got year 11s. We've got year 12s. We've got like, where's Caleb gone? Like we've got. Caleb's not here?
He's here, but he's...
He's gone to the loo. The one man who's like, you know, this stuff's like his bread and butter, isn't it? Okay, so as x approaches infinity, 1 over x is nothing, it's zero. So you know the concept of infinity, the thing about infinity is it's not actually anything. It's not actually a number. It's not actually a thing. So you can't say 1 divided by infinity because you can't divide something by infinity. Because infinity has no beginning and it has no end. It's boundless. In fact, it was a concept that early on, the Greek mathematicians were really scared of this concept. And so they'd all try and avoid talking about infinity because the concept was just blowing their minds. And so they'd talk about these numbers that were bigger than what they could explain. But the concept of there being something bigger than all of the numbers was really hard. And when you start dealing with infinity, it gets really tricky. So you can only say things like, well, it approaches infinity. So when it's almost to the biggest number that we can't possibly describe, and you divide that number into anything, then the answer is zero. Because it's so big, right? So it's like conceptual stuff.
To infinity and beyond!
All right, so... Oh, yeah. Buzz Lightyear, got it wrong. To infinity and beyond. You can't go beyond infinity, right? You can't add anything to infinity. You can't take anything from infinity. Infinity is infinity. It's funny, I actually tried to work out, like I typed into Google various things and ended up on Reddit. You know, you guys ever go to Reddit and start reading stuff, right? And you go down the, it's like Alice in Wonderland. You just keep on going. There was all these keyboard warriors fighting over what you could do with infinity and what you couldn't do with infinity. So I just stuck to the textbooks. Here he is here. Caleb, you missed out on infinity, mate. An infinity minus, a bit embarrassing for me to point out that you just walked out of the toilet, isn't it? Sorry, mate. infinity minus something, it just doesn't make any sense. So we're stuck with infinity. But if maths doesn't float your boat, I thought maybe graphics might be better. I've talked about fractals before, but I thought I'd give you a chance to watch a fractal for a little while. This goes for 2 hours. I only grabbed a little bit of it though, all right? The concept of a fractal is it's mathematics, basically, in an image. And as you zoom in, it goes on and on and on. And there's these repeating patterns that just keep on going. And there is actually no end to this video. I mean, it goes for 2 hours, but theoretically it can go forever. And it never runs out. It's actually quite peaceful, isn't it? You just keep on looking at that. So if you've ever got many, many hours to kill and you don't want to watch a story about the Beatles, you could watch fractals instead. It just keeps going. How long should we do this for? When are you all going to get a little bit sick of me? But you get the idea, right? Fractals go on and on. And the thing is, our God is infinite, right? Who saw that coming? That must have blown. No one saw I was going to like suddenly throw God in there, right, in a sermon. But God is infinite, right? We know that God is bigger than what numbers are. And so we come to Christmas time, and I think this is an interesting thing that we can talk about. Sorry, just behind that chair back there. Thanks. We come to Christmas and we... Thank you. That's not working. There's no straw. Why is there no straw? That's better than blowing my nose, which I think I did. Was that last sermon or the sermon before? And cried. Yeah, did that as well. I might cry on this one. There's nothing particularly personal about infinity. Ah, yes. Yeah. God is infinite. Okay. And the thing is, this whole thing about God being infinite starts right at the very beginning of the Bible, when we have the story of creation, which the language of this particular part of it is extraordinarily poetic. So don't read this. I mean, I like to read it very scientifically, but these first few verses are really poetic. They're trying to actually describe something that words can't describe, which is talking about how huge God is and how long he's been around and where creation sits in relation to him. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. Now those words on their own don't actually mean a whole lot, but you get the sense of what's trying to be said is the concept of the created world was not yet. It was a gap. It was void. And there wasn't anything shining in there. It was just darkness. There was nothing. But he's not saying there was nothing, because there always was something, because it existed within God. So the heart of the creator is to make the created. And so there was never a time that there wasn't something in the heart of God that we call us and the created. And yet it didn't exist until a point in time that God made it. Right? And the whole time that this thing that was in the heart of God that didn't exist but did exist and it was here, the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The waters meaning the life of it. It was always part of the Spirit of God that this created sat there. So God is like, he's trying to get some language to say, God is like way bigger than the thing he created. But the thing he created came from him and was always in relationship with him, because it came from within his heart. Even the word heart, I mean, how does that apply to God? And yet you know what I'm trying to say, right? Another one, right at the end of the Bible, and we know this one really well. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. They're massive words. the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the person who started it all, the thing that created it all, the one that will finish it all. And then he describes himself as the one who is and was and who is to come. You get that? Like, it's the whole way through is God. So now my crack at it. Before time, God is. Not, I won't actually use the word was, because until there was matter, just to go a little bit further, and why something can actually be infinite. Before there was matter, there was no time, because time is the intersect of matter and space. Okay, so when there's no matter, before God created that, there was no time. When there is no time, you can't talk of was. He just is. Before time, God is. After time, God is. God is outside of time, right? God isn't bound by time. And yet time exists within God, because he created it. It can't be outside of him. It can't be separate from God. It has to be part of him. It has to be in him, because he's bigger than it. And it's a created continuum. But then God chooses to move within the time. Are you with me? Like, I'm hoping that it's just... What I want to try and get across is, this is huge. The concept of God being infinite, we often just rush past it. And we just go, yeah, God's big. No, no, not God just big. God always. So we, the created, we have an origin. But he, the originator, knows no beginning. The creator is also the concluder, and the created exists within and dependent on the creator. So we often split up the creator from the created, as if somehow the creator, you know, just wound up the clock and then put it on the mantelpiece and then went, there you go, I'll just watch that from a distance for a while and see how it all goes. Now, how would God do that exactly? Is he not going to be over here anymore? Is there some bound to who God is? Or is God always somehow connected to everything? How could there be a place where God is not? I'll let you carry that one in your mind as far as you want to, but I think it's a question that we have to ask. Is there anywhere that you can run or go or be that God is not in at least some way? Because that would require God to not be somewhere, and if God was not somewhere, he isn't infinite anymore. Which really goes to say there is no reality beyond the one, beyond God. He has no start and no end. And as I came back to infinity before, you can't take from or add to him or his nature. There's nothing we can do that can add to him, right? So how do you describe that? Well, God had a crack at it. He kept it pretty simple. He just said, I am. I am who I am. How are we going to know that, God? He just says, I am. Like, you can't define me, says God, by anything. I just am. And then there's like all the descriptions of who God is. And we went through this a little while ago, guys. And we like, what do we have? Like, there's a bear, a hen, a raging fire. Like, there's just a big long list of things to try and describe who this amazing creator is to us. And yet God, who says, I am, he's also the God that lives within each and every one of us. So he chooses to not just restrict himself to being I am, but to being in as well. Problem is, at Christmas time, we get little nativities like this one. And I don't know about you, but when I see the little baby Jesus in the little, whatever this is, little models, it's pretty hard to imagine the great I am. And yet this is the very time that we're celebrating that the great I am came to be one of us. And that's what that little tiny baby sitting in that piece of straw in a garden is trying to signify. And yet we look at it and go, oh, cute little baby Jesus. I'm trying to go, so the full infiniteness, the full infinity of who God is, dwells inside of the baby Jesus.
This is Houston. Say again, please.
Houston, we have a problem.
Yeah, we have a serious problem when we just think about Christmas, the celebration of Christmas, I think. We have a serious problem because we trivialize what is actually the most confronting thing that has happened throughout all of history, I would argue. I know we focus on the cross, don't get me wrong, I'm not undermining the value of the cross in any way, but I would argue that the most confronting thing that happened is actually that God chose to be one of us. That's amazing. We've got to put that in some words that we mean, but the problem is that with all the marketing, with all of the baby Jesus, with all the nativity scenes and the lights that we'll go and look at tonight and all of that, it can be easy to focus on that. And then even we, who are celebrating this amazing time of the incarnation, we forget what it really means, what actually happened. So my message is going to be really short today because, you know, it's Christmas and we're going to go out and have fish and chips in a minute and hopefully spend some time with each other and enjoy each other's company. But I guess the main thing is this God, this infinite God, who is the eternal animator. Makes sense, animator. It's a word that the French use when they're in a meeting and they want to describe the person that is responsible for bringing life into a conversation. They call them the animator, and I like it because that's how I see God. He's the life, but I like he's the animator. He's the one who actually brings us out of the dullness that might otherwise pervade our beings and brings to it something which is rich and beautiful. He's the one that animates our very existence. He's the life giver and the infinite word. And he became one of us. The fullness of all of that, the God who existed before time and will exist after time, who is bigger than anything and can't exist, can't be not anywhere, who exists everywhere, who all things exist within, chose to become one of us. And he entered right into his creation. This isn't new to you all. I know you've heard this 100 times before. But it was because he saw this, right? We're like little clay models or wooden models, his creation. If you think about us relative to God, right? It's like us going out and making a little wooden toy that looks like us and then putting it there. And then these wooden toys are trying to live life. But they can't do it without us. We have to be involved in this to make it work. And God looks upon us and says, you know, on their own, they can't really experience the fullness of who we God are, the Father, Son, and Spirit. They can't experience this without us. This is something that we have to be part of. How are we going to fix that? Well, we're going to dive right in. We're going to dive right in, says God, into everything that is them. Into our own creation, into our own little wooden model. So imagine that you're sitting there like Giuseppe, is that right? Made Pinocchio, did I get that right? Who is it? Geppetto, not Giuseppe, he makes pieces. Close. Thank you. I'm glad you corrected me. Wants to give life to the boy. God didn't leave anything behind when he dived into his own creation. Without any care of anything, complete abandon, he dives into all that we are, the completeness of God. And we can read that in Philippians where it says, though he was by nature God, he didn't consider equality with God as a prize to be displayed. In other words, you know, he's everything that we just described, but he didn't need to show it off. He didn't even have to show that glory, but instead he emptied himself, so humbled himself, by taking on the nature of a servant, i.e. the created. And when he was born in human likeness and the appearance was like that of any other man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow in heaven and on earth, under the earth, under the earth. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's a big statement. See, you've got God sitting throughout all time, and in their heart is the created, throughout all time. Because the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the earth, right? So before that was done, this whole thing sits within God. Now, don't think that means we don't have any choice in how things play out because God creates space for us. But throughout time, we've sat there. And then when we are going off the rails, God decides, right, I'm going to dive into that. And it's not just going to be a little piece of me. It's going to be the whole thing. And I'm going to take on everything that it means to be human. The whole lot. And then God says, and once that's happened, I'm going to then exalt you up, and then everyone's going to actually enjoy celebrating who you are. Because what's special about Jesus now is that he lives with the Father. He's both us and he's God. He didn't stop being a human. He's still with us. And so he's the firstborn, right? He's us. And so we worship and say, Jesus, you're amazing. You're the firstborn. So my challenge, you have a challenge at a Christmas message? Maybe. Is that when we see at Christmas time these little nativity scenes, we might think infinite love, ultimate truth, eternal life, Prince of Peace, Alpha and Omega, Ancient of Days, and that he lives as one of us. Not as separate from us, but that the Creator did something amazing and said, I'll become one of the created. And there will no longer be any separation between us. We are one. They're included in who we are. No break. The Creator became the created. Can we sing Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus? And because I think that when we, not that I'm going to start worshipping little nativity scenes, I think that'd probably be a bad move. But when we do turn our eyes toward little nativity scenes, let's remember who Jesus is. And I want to finish with my season's greetings, because you see these all the time, but this is my version. My season's greeting is, may you live as one dwelling within the heart of the eternal. You don't just exist here and now, but you exist in God, into the future, into the eternal one. That's what we've been included into. May you remember that nothing can be added to or taken from his infinite love and forgiveness. Guys, you can't do anything to make God love you or forgive you. You can't do anything to stop him loving and forgiving you. It's just there. He's infinite, just like him. And let's be blessed with his peace throughout Christmas time as we, Christmas, celebrate the fact that God, through Jesus, became one of us.